Welcome to Campus Stories. This is a 10-part series which looks at students who have taken non-traditional routes to third-level education and the support services available to them. This series is funded by the Higher Education Authority and Wired FM. It is produced and presented by Aidan Long and Ruth Flood and was recorded in the Wired FM studios in Limerick in 2007. Part of the series, we focus on students from abroad who were living in Ireland before they decided to go to college here. We spoke to Brian Clancy from the Learner Support Unit in Mary Immaculate College, who tells us a little about the number of immigrants or refugees studying in the college and what type of backgrounds they typically come from.
From what I can see around the college and from the interaction I've had with the students, I wouldn't say very many at all. I'd say there's maybe, I can think off of a hand of three in first year maybe, and about the same in second year and third year. So not many at all, actually. But it is improving, you know. In the foundation certificate this year now, we have 7 immigrants and refugees. It's growing, like, you know, Nigeria, Congo, Jordan, Sudan. So it's a good mix as well, you know. In terms of their personal backgrounds, you don't really find out too much, you know. And sometimes I think maybe I don't really want to find out too much, because there's a chance that as an immigrant or refugee seeker that they're, you know, they're fleeing, they've been forced to leave their country for some reason, and, you know, maybe they don't want to go through that. So I don't really go into their background. In terms of their educational background, again, like any, we'll say, what's termed non-traditional student, you get all sorts of educational backgrounds. So you might get someone who hasn't had any education at all, and you might get someone, which is a real issue now at third level, people who already have degrees and are coming to Ireland and want to get recognition for their degrees, you know. They don't really want to go back to university again, but the situation at the moment is some of them have to go back to university. So all different kinds of backgrounds, you know.
These students can come from a variety of different backgrounds and many different routes into college. We spoke to 3 students, Aisha Chukuma, Crystal Catcher and Ava Coombs, all of whom have taken different routes to college in Ireland.
My name is Aisha Chukuma. I'm from Nigeria originally. I'm doing the BA course. I'm in my 3rd year now. I have 3 children and a husband.
My name's Crystal Catcher. I'm from Melbourne in Australia. I've been living in Ireland for about 5 years now, studying forensics and pharmaceutical science in LIT in Limerick. Came to Ireland actually as a gap year from college in Australia. I was doing a similar course, biomedical science, but all my friends were over here on a gap year and they asked me to come, so I thought, yeah, that'd be cool. Came over and ended up staying, so a few years later, I decided to get myself back into college, and because I was sick of doing crappy jobs, really.
Yes, well, who am I? I'm that mad French woman who's madly in love with Ireland, with the set dancing, traditional music, landscape, the people, the pubs. You know, what more do you want to know?
Why did these students want to study in Ireland?
To improve myself, personally, I like reading and challenges, and I just feel education will improve me more. I want to be able to interact in the environment I found myself.
To tell you the truth, my dad's English, so I could avail of the free fee scheme. It was better than going back home and paying $42,000 in Australia, you know.
Well, I was at that point where it was time for a change in my career path, and somebody asked me, you know, think what you really want to do. And I said, well, I never got a degree, and that's something I really want to do. I've been studying all my life, and suddenly I felt the need, you know, to sort of measure my achievement. So here I am.
How would immigrants or refugees apply to go to college in Ireland, and how easily available is the information?
Well, I suppose the groups that I work with are mature students, so they're over 23. So if you're a mature student, if you're over 23 years of age, you can apply directly to the college. You can bypass the CEO system if you want to. But again, a lot of, we'll say, refugees, asylum seekers that are coming into Ireland are doing VITAS courses with the VEC. So they're going back, doing a leaving cert, more or less. And of course, then they can go through the CEO if they want to. But if they're over 23, they can come directly to the college. Now, there's a couple of criteria. Now, they have to have status, so to speak. You have to have a stamp 4 on your Garda National Immigration Card. So stamp 4 highlights legal refugee status in Ireland, so you need that. And also, what's becoming a bit of an issue at the moment as well is because they're not all coming from English-speaking backgrounds, the English level is becoming an issue. Now, I think at third level now something will have to be done, because at the moment the English levels required at third level are, we'll say, exams that were catered or are basically are requirements for international students. So students who are already at university abroad and maybe want to come to Ireland to do an extra year of study. So they're already in a kind of, they're probably studying English and they're already in a pretty strong position to take the exams that, because they require quite high grades, like the Cambridge Advanced English exam, you have to get a grade A in that, and it's quite a difficult exam. The Cambridge Proficiency exam, you have to get a grade C in that, and I mean, there's lots of native speakers who would struggle to get a grade C in that, you know, never mind people whose first language isn't English. And another thing about them is that the exams themselves can be quite expensive. So, you know, finance could be an issue for the students. But a good thing for them to do, I think, in terms of English, would be to do something like our foundation certificate and get the English sorted out. In terms of getting information, you can also go to the Adult Education Guidance Service, which is on O'Connell Avenue, the old Red Tech, what it's called in Limerick. And there's actually, they're very helpful in there, you know. And also, there's a community organisation called Duras Limni, and they work very closely with refugees, and they often send students to Mary I, so they're out there giving out information as well.
It was easily available to me because of an organization called DORAS. I don't know if you've heard about them. It's a developmental organizations for refugees and asylum seekers here in Limerick. Their office is at the Redemptorist Church on Harry Street. As an immigrant, that was the first place I went to, and they were really helpful. They told me about the college and gave me a phone number. They will actually ask you what you would like to do. Now you are in Ireland, what would you like to do? I told them, well, I would like to study if I'm given the chance. They said, okay. They gave me the phone number of Geraldine Bosnia, the coordinator then of the Foundation Access Program.
Kind of. I did it like every other Irish student would do it. Just went into the open days and got as much information as I could, the different ways I was able to apply. So that was it, really, just going into receptions and asking around about different information. I used my high school certificate, my VCE back home from Australia, and the credits that I got from university back home, and went straight through into CAO because I'd been into UL and spoken to them about applying as an international student, but with my EU passport, it was just easier to go through the CAO. But when I did apply to them, they said they'd got all my application forms and everything, and I was expecting to get letters back from UL because I'd applied for sports, physical education teaching, and I was waiting for the physical test that I had to go in for, and I never got it. And I was just sitting there twiddling my thumbs thinking, okay. So I had to ring them up and they said that they didn't have my name down for the course because I had spoken to the international lady and she said, oh, it's fine, you'll get in, no problem, we've got your name down. I just had to do the formalities of the CAO. So as far as I knew, I had a place. But when I went in to see the lady, she said that she didn't have my name down and that she couldn't remember me. So typical kind of receptionist, I suppose. But I was lucky to have put down a fourth choice at LIT. So I went to speak to them about it and they didn't have problems with not having different languages or Irish, because one of the reasons why I didn't get into UL is because I didn't speak Irish, which I thought was pretty pathetic because I'm from Australia. But anyway, so I went to speak to them at LIT and they were pretty good with me there. They took all photocopies of all my results and everything, and they pretty much did their own application because CAO had put me down as 0 points. I don't know why they did that because I'd paid them extra to go through the I think the system's a bit stuffed up there, but I suppose when I spoke to the lady, she said they only had about 10 people working through all of Ireland's students, their year 12 students, so I was a bit shocked with that. But no, LIT were really good to me and they went through their chairman and all that, and he said that I was okay to go through, so they gave me the extra place. I think I started about a month late, but it was okay. I got it there, got there in the end.
Well, totally, yeah. The minute I decided I wanted to go to college, I was put in the right direction. I came here and I was given that lovely interview by somebody who later taught me philosophy. Well, that was quite simple, really. You know, all they asked me was my name and my PRSI number, and asked me a few questions. And do you think you'd like it? And I said yes. And they say, well, this seems to be for you, and that's it.
Do students find it difficult to adapt to college life, and what are the challenges facing them?
Mature students will say, first of all, students over 23, right, will say, take an Irish mature student before we go into the immigrants. Now, we'll say an Irish mature student finds it difficult to integrate into college life for a variety of reasons, lots of challenges. So, for example, financial challenges. You know, you might be leaving a job, coming back to college. Childcare challenges, because lots of mature students have families. Issues of time management then, you know, like you're in college, but you might have to collect your child from school, or, you know, that child might get sick, has to be looked after, that kind of thing. Then there's the whole area of confidence. You know, it's a huge step to kind of walk back in through these, I don't know what you call them, ivory doors of third level, you know. So there's a big issues there. The confidence then kind of relates to this culture, like university is like this kind of microculture, you know, and it is all like any other culture. It's all its own rules and traditions. And, you know, mature students find it difficult to acculturate to this environment. Now, if you can imagine yourself as a refugee and an asylum seeker, and not only have you to acculturate to Ireland, then you find yourself having to acculturate to university. Then you find yourself having to overcome any mature student barrier, you know, and all of this then language barriers too. So there's actually quite a lot that they have to overcome, you know. I imagine they find it quite difficult. Any minority group kind of, I don't know, it instills this kind of almost a fear in people, you know, and kind of this apprehension, this kind of misconception that, you know, they're coming to Ireland and stealing our jobs and stealing our money, and, you know, and basically the only way around that really is integration, you know, and that's one reason anyway, you know, you want to integrate people and, you know, deal with the fears people have about immigration and refugees, asylum seekers, that kind of thing. Again, the research has shown that direct contact with minority groups, you know, dispels these fears. And also, there have been some surveys carried out, you know, on Irish people and, you know, the amount of contact they have with minority groups. And I think one of the figures was 66% of Irish people have no contact. Now, I think that's underestimated, you know, I'd say it's more. And I think especially in third level, like third level students are such a homogenous group, and they've moved in the same group more or less the same group all their lives, you know, primary school, secondary school, and they're moving with their peer group again into third level. So it's great to have a mix of Irish people, non-Irish people, minority groups in university for that reason.
especially those that don't speak English. There's the language difference, the language gap there. The only different experience is the age gap, like I said earlier. Yeah, between the younger students and the mature students. I think so, yeah. I don't know what they say behind me, but I think everyone treats me like they treat other people. I've not witnessed anyone treating me differently because of my color. No, not in college anyway, maybe outside college. It was easy for me because I did the foundation access program and I got to know a lot of people then and most of the lecturers. So when I came in, it was not difficult. I had met some friends and when we came together, oh, hi, and that was the beginning of college life.
I think there would be for people that come from different cultural backgrounds. Do you know what I mean? Australia is kind of the same as Ireland in that we're all pretty laid back and, you know, just do your own thing. I'd say the only thing that really is any different is my accent. But then everyone else has got different accents in Ireland anyway. Everyone's from different counties, so everyone's getting picked on. So I think my age gap would be a bit of a difference because everyone's a bit younger than me. I think I'm 24 and everyone else is about 19. But maybe for people who have different cultures, different religions, or if they have refugee status or something like that, I think it would be different for them. They tend to kind of stick to themselves at college. But for me, it's been fine because, I don't know, I'm just treated like anybody else, probably because we all kind of like the same things. I don't know. Probably because it was easy for me to adapt to college life over here because it's exactly the same in Australia. I couldn't really tell you for other people, but yeah, myself has been fine. It was pretty cool. Like, I mean, starting a month late was probably the hardest thing to get used to because everybody already knew everyone else. But it's fine. I mean, as I said, it's exactly the same to Australia and it's just very laid back.
I can only tell you from the point of view of mature students, and maybe because I'm here so long, I find that there's no gap at all. No, I look at them and I think, you know, I'm totally part of the group. Maybe it's a mistake because I'm not quite the same age, but I feel it. Well, I don't know if I integrate, you know, in so far as, you know, it all depends on how sociable you are. I know I'm a bit of a loner, so I tend to do things on my own, but, you know, there is company there if you want it. I think that's the main thing.
What supports are in place for immigrants or refugees who find college life difficult?
Well, I suppose the main one anyway I'd have to plug ourselves here, I suppose, the Learner Support Unit. You know, we're around in terms of support for the students. We provide like learner seminars, so seminars in study skills, things like exam preparation, time management, those kind of things. We provide peer tutoring, so if the students have individual needs, say the most common ones are Irish and maths. So if you have feel like you're falling behind or whatever, you can come to us and we'll organise peer tutoring in the subject area you need. And we also provide one-to-one academic support, which basically the one-to-one academic support takes the form of essay writing support, really. And then we also have a guidance and counselling service too. Now, the LSU, we facilitate the foundation certificate. And since we've had an increase in the amount of people with non-English speaking backgrounds coming on foundation cert, now we've also built in a language element, an English language element into the foundation certificate. And Roisin Ní Bhócán from TEFL, she teaches on that. And also we have we've started a homework club. I think St. Vincent de Paul started it up and we run it now, and it basically will take students from any disadvantaged background and we bring them in to Mary Eye and we give them support. So it's second level students.
The Learner Support Unit is there. I take my essay there. I'm really addicted to them now. After my essay, I don't feel confident enough, except I take it there and they will read through it and make some punctuation, correction and spelling.
Well, they are fantastic people because, you know, whatever you write, they will read it and they will analyze it and they will come back to you and say, you know, this is good, this is what you have to change, try and do this, try and do that. I think they have jobs, patience, and no way could I do what they want, but fair due to them.
Apart from that, various lecturers, they are very accessible. Just knock at their door and they give you ear if they are in. And you can also access them through the email. They reply you immediately. Yeah, I find them really very supportive and helpful.
Well, for international students, I've never really had to avail of anything apart from admissions. There was a lady there in LIT. Her name's Anne, I think. She's head of admissions, and she was really good to me because, like, I mean, she just did everything for my application. If it didn't have her, then I wouldn't be in college. So pretty grateful to her. But apart from other supports, there's heaps of things there. There's all the health units and all that kind of stuff, but I've never really used them. Most of the lecturers are pretty cool in our course. They're all right, yeah. They haven't treated me any different from any of the other students, so there's no need to.
Yeah, I think it's very important to be able to talk to your peers, and I find, you know, I have a very good contact with mostly mature students, but also, you know, with the young ones. And if that's not enough, you know, if you have sort of technical problems, the staff is very helpful. If the problem is of another order, the lecturers are very sort of, you know, they have an open door policy and they're very approachable. And finally, you know, if the problem is spiritual or otherwise, I find the chaplaincy a fantastic team and very easy to talk to.
How do these students find college life now?
Challenging and interesting.
College life is good. Yeah, the first year was, it's pretty much the same as Australia, really. But, you know, everyone just kind of goes in for their lectures and goes in for their pracs and doesn't go in for their pracs or whatever. You know, they just come. College is exactly the same. It's just like school, really. But I enjoy it. Made heaps of friends, and second year's been a lot better because, you know, everyone knows everyone, and it just gets easier as you go along.
Yeah, very exciting, very hands-on. There's a lot of things I always wanted to learn, like making a film and, you know, knowing more about computers. So all this was provided, and I had a fantastic first year learning anthropology and philosophy and theology, all sorts of, you know, sciences that I always wanted to dabble in, but never had the opportunity. And you know, it's just fantastic having the library, all that knowledge at your fingertips. You know, you think of something and there you are. You can go and get a book about it and read about it.
What do these students typically go on to do?
I'd say it's a mix, you know. Again, I think we haven't gone far enough in Mary Eye yet to really know. They're still in the system. But I would hope, I really would hope it would be find employment. I think that's most of their goal, you know, so that they can actually get a job. Because like I was saying to you, a lot of them already have third level qualifications and probably were working at home in their own country and something happened, they had to come to Ireland, you know, and probably the last thing they want to be doing is living on the social welfare in a hostel, you know. They probably want to be back up to some equivalent of their life before they move to Ireland, you know.
Build a career for myself, possibly part-time postgraduate program. I don't mind working in an advertising company or any media company or even film production company, yeah.
I don't know exactly. I've got another 2 years to go. I don't know if I'll go back home. In the third year, we've got a, suppose you call it an internship, like work experience for 6 months. So hopefully we'll be able to either go abroad for that or go somewhere different within Ireland. But as far as college, after college plans go, there's a few different opportunities. I mean, I've always wanted to do medicine. That would be a great thing. But then there's teaching and there's even going into the pharmaceutical industry. There's not many jobs in forensics, even though I suppose they need more people in there with the way the crime is over here. But I mean, I haven't got any specific plan at the moment. There's lots of little different things that I'd like to do. I suppose it's all going to come with what I get for work experience and how I enjoy the pharmaceutical industry. We'll see how it goes from there. I think it would be fantastic to be able to teach at a tertiary level. So obviously you're going to need master's degrees and PhDs for that. But we'll see how it goes. I think it might be better to maybe get a bit of work experience under my belt before I go on to the PhD and hopefully get myself a bit more financially stable. But definitely further education after my bachelor degree would be on the list.
I'm quite open-minded. I hope that this will lead to something a bit more interesting than the sort of bread and butter jobs that I did before. But if an MA is open, why not? I might do that, and then a doctorate, why not?
Are there any plans to increase the number of non-national students attending Mary Immaculate College?
Yeah, there are plans in the pipeline, shall we say. Hopefully we'll get more involved in the community. At the moment, I'm working on access courses with County Limerick VEC and with the Clare Lifelong Learning Network in Ennis. So hopefully we'll bring them in that way, especially in Ennis, because Ennis seems to be a centre almost. You know, it has something like 80 different nationalities living in the town, you know. So it's important to get involved in that area. Also with educational institutions like High School International and Limerick Senior College, because they've quite high non-national population, you know, non-Irish population. So good to get involved with them as well.
This programme is part of a 10-part series funded by the Higher Education Authority and Ward FM. We would like to thank everyone who participated in the making of this programme and wish them well in their studies. This programme was produced by Aidan Long and Ruth Rudd at Ward FM Studios in Limerick. Be the end.